We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and pleased to be joined here via telephone by Kevin Logan. He is the superintendent of Rock Creek Schools, USD 323 in Pottawatomie County. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Appreciate you having me on today.
You bet. Yeah, normally we catch up with him on Wednesdays. Had a little connectivity issue on Wednesday, but I wanted to get him on here today. We did have an opening, so there's a lot going on in our local school districts, and we want to make sure we get that passed along to the community. First off, I guess we'll just kind of start with reopening plans, and the start of the school year is about a week away, isn't it?
It is. Our students come back on Thursday the 20th. We had our staff back, all of our teaching faculty back this week, Monday, and they've been preparing their classrooms, preparing themselves for welcoming our students back. District-wide, we've been trying to keep our patrons updated on what we have going on in preparation for the new school year. Our Navigating Change document is out on our website, and it's been sent out on a swift message to all of our parents and our staff members. And then later today, we will be sending out the medical portion of that, or the well-being portion of that, regarding some information on quarantine, what's considered close contact, how long students need to stay out if they've been exposed in that close contact criteria. And just a lot of questions that have been asked of us. Our nurses did a great job of putting this document together with input from our principals. And Pop County Health signed out on it yesterday, so that'll be sent out later today and posted on our website, hopefully no later than Monday morning.
All right. So I know Pott County is a little different than what Raleigh County has for some of its orders here. But I think what was handed down from the governor, you will require masks in the school building. Isn't that correct?
We are. We are requiring masks at all times while students are in the school building and even outside of the school building if we're not able to maintain a 6-foot physical distance away from one another. During one of our trainings we had earlier this week, we are going to start using the term physical distance versus social distance. And it has to do with our school improvement plan, is that we really want our students socially engaged with one another, but we do want to keep that safe physical distance. So we're just going to be using a different terminology when we talk about distancing. But again, mask inside the buildings at all times, outside the buildings at all times, unless we're able to maintain that 6-foot physical distance. We'll also be masking at any time students are on the bus, whether it's going to an activity or our normal bus routes to and from school or our shuttle routes between schools. So there'll be a lot of mask wearing. I know most of our students or staff have been used to that. Anytime they're out in public, you know, and the mask order is in effect, they've been doing a really good job with that. We don't anticipate any issues. It's just kind of become part of what we do right now. Before entering our buildings, there will be a temperature check for all persons. We will be limiting the people who come into our buildings. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet regarding activity competitions as we get going this fall. Our patrons should be on the lookout there for information coming from our activities department. We will get that information out. As you know, information is a constantly changing environment right now, so we will try to keep everybody updated with the latest information that we can share.
All right. As far as the delivery of instruction, that's going to be is it going to be 100% in person, or are you doing the hybrid? I can't remember.
We are offering two modes of instruction right now. The first one will be our in-school, in-person instruction, basically as we were before with the physical distancing and also some barriers put in between where we cannot offer the 6 feet. We've been purchasing plexiglass, it seems like the truckload full, to put up physical barriers between students if they're sharing tables, either in the classroom or at lunchtime, to add that one more barrier of safety there. The other instructional method that we will have is our remote method, and that will be for our our students who choose to stay at home and receive their instruction from our teachers in that manner. It's very important that we call this a remote learning environment because we do not offer a virtual school at USD 323, and we don't offer homeschooling. Those are two completely different concepts that parents can choose for their students that we don't offer. Ours will be remote with our teachers doing the instruction using some online software and Zoom to work that process. The important piece for remote to keep in mind, it is not what we did last year. It is not the continuous learning plan, which was really just kind of a Band-Aid to a bad situation. This is a full, rigorous learning environment. It requires no less than 390 minutes a day of school work. It doesn't all have to be on Zoom time. It does all have to be documented for KSDE in order for us to count those students as enrolled students. At this time, we have about 7.5% of our 1,200 students who are choosing the remote option. So that leaves about 92% of our students and families that are choosing to come back into our buildings.
All right. And what is the total enrollment at Rock Creek Schools? Just curious.
What we anticipate right now, Brandon, is we'll be around 1,200 students this year.
Okay. All right.
Our enrollment has been open now for about a week and a half. We had some issues with our schools, and so we were late getting started with it. We know we have some parents that just haven't got it completed yet, but we're anticipating right at 1,200.
Okay, very good. In addition to the reopening plan, and we're talking with Kevin Logan here, Superintendent Rock Creek Schools, you did have your board meeting this past Monday, and I understand the budget was approved?
Yes, our budget was approved. We actually were able to go down just over a third of a mil. Our valuation growth helped us out with that tremendously. So our patrons won't see a big rise in their taxes for schools. They'll actually see a little bit of a decrease, which is nice. Other than that, we didn't have any public comment on the budget, and things went really smoothly on that part of the meeting.
Now, with the approved budget, do you anticipate we could see changes mid-year with that, depending on when the legislature reconvenes in January?
You know, I really hope not. We're being told to plan for our full budget being funded by the state. And I say we are being told by that. That is from the Kansas State Department of Education. The legislature had adopted, you know, the plan back a couple of years ago to get us back up to speed where we needed to be as far as our financing. This year was another budget increase for us, and we really needed it with opening our new building because, you know, we brought on about what we would call 18 and a half new FTE or full-time equivalency positions, both licensed and classified, to support our students with the new building. We knew this was a year that we would have to add a lot of staff. We would have added in previous years. We just did not have the physical rooms to be able to do that trying to keep our class sizes down to where our board really wants them to be. And by adding the staff has allowed us to do that.
All right. Well, speaking of monies, there's also a lot of Spark funds. We're hearing a lot about different entities starting to get those allocations. What have you learned from Pottawatomie County, what Rock Creek will be getting?
Pottawatomie County Commission met last Monday morning, and they approved to transfer the amount that was given per population number in Pott County, which was $202.26 per person, to each district per enrollment of Pott County students at that same amount of $202.26. Using our projected 1,200-person enrollment, that ended up to about $242,000 to USD 323. That seems like a lot of money to this point. We've actually spent well over $360,000 in directly COVID-related funding, dipping into some capital outlay funds in which to do that. So it's a really nice help. It's not near all what we had hoped for or what we need, but it is very much appreciated.
All right, good to hear that is being provided. And you mentioned also the new building out there. How is that coming along, and will it be ready in time for the start of the school year?
I'll tell you what, most of it is ready for the start of the school year. The quarantine over the summer hurt us in one area, and that was the information technology piece. So we still have some interactive technology that physically is installed, but there's a few connectors that are not working with one another. And we have specialists on site, or will be on site in 15 minutes to fix that issue. And then there's some software things once that's done that have to be downloaded. So that's a concern right now, and it's cutting it way too close for comfort. As far as physical, you know, we're up and we're ready to go. There's a few bits and pieces here and there. With any new building, you have things that have to be taken care of. We've got some sidewalk that wasn't quite right being fixed as we speak this morning. We have some exterior finishes being fixed throughout this week. Grass, while it's looking good, is not completely established. So, you know, we're continuing to work on that. There's little bits and pieces, but the building being safe, being functional, with the exception of that chunk of informational technology I talked about, we're looking good. Staff is in their new rooms. You know, they're still in the process of setting things up. We've had trainings off and on throughout the week. Teachers have two work days next Tuesday and Wednesday where they have time to get on their own to get their rooms ready. And, again, be ready to welcome students back next Thursday, the 20th.
All right. Well, very good. It's been fun to watch that construction. I drive by there every once in a while over on my way to Westmoreland and back. But, yeah, that's a nice-looking building you got there for sure.
Yeah, it's a super building. It's going to be great learning spaces for our students, for our teachers to teach in. We did have open houses last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We, again, had the, you know, physical distance. We had to have masks on when we gave the tours. And it was one of those, as I know the groups that I took around, I said, hey, you know, really look at the learning spaces, the way the building is laid out, because they are just absolutely great places for our students to learn. A lot of thought went into why we did what we did. And I said, do this because when you look at the commons and you go into that new gymnasium, you're just going to say, wow, this is amazing, which it absolutely is. But bottom line, you know, it's about teaching and learning. So those learning spaces are hugely important. And we're so thankful to our patrons for providing us that building in which to teach in.
Well, it's good to see that new construction. And of course, there's one other thing here. We go back to the school board just a bit. I understand you had a resignation on there and a new board member coming on?
We did. We had Anna Nifford, who is our board president since this past January, resigned effective July 31st, 2020. And that had to do with us hiring her actually as a preschool teacher. We're thrilled to have her on board and have her expertise, and we want to thank her for all the work that she did on the board. And then start out last Monday's meeting, the board had to elect a new board president. Board elected Don Henry, who had also been serving as vice president since this past January meeting, to serve as president, and then had elected Stuart Schwartz, past president of the board, to serve as her vice president. So look forward to working with both Don and Stuart in their new capacities. And then we do have an open board position. We have 8 individuals at this time interested in that. I sent out the questionnaire to each of them to fill out for the board to look at prior to our regular September meeting, which is on the 14th of September. And then at that meeting, the board will interview those 8 persons for that open position and make a selection of one of those candidates at that time.
All right.
I guess if we have others interested in that open position, it is our at-large position, so it's any place within our borders. They should contact either myself or Lina Gretschmacher, our district clerk here at the 323 district office.
All right. Well, Kevin, always appreciate the time here. It's there's a lot going on, and we appreciate that we were able to catch back up with you here today.
Brandon, I really appreciate you making the effort and the time slot for me here. We will get our technology figured out. This is 2 months in a row where things haven't turned out quite like what we'd like, but I really appreciate you allowing me to share the message for 323 Rock Creek, and just wishing that everyone is safe out there, and know that we're going to take care of our students and our staff members to the best of our capabilities, and look forward to working with everybody as we move through this school year.
All right. Well, Kevin, appreciate it, and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Brandon. You have a good weekend also.
All right. Kevin Logan, superintendent of Rock Creek Schools, joining us on In Focus. We'll take a break, come back more with Dave Lewis after this.